Today, we need you more than we did yesterday, Lord. We need you. Lord, the Apostle Paul said, in you we live and move and have our being. God, that you want us to know you. You want us to lay aside every sin, every weight, and run after you and draw near to you. And you promised, Lord, in your word in James chapter 4, if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. That's a big if. Lord, help us all draw near to you, especially in these days that we're living in. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your direction. We want to be a people led by the Holy Spirit, not our own minds or our own emotions. And so we pray and ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Praise God. Got a crew here this morning, don't we? Wow. Hallelujah. No masks, no social distancing. We're not afraid. Don't live in fear of a virus. 99.9% people survive. Amen. I mean, goodness. If we were that scared, we would never meet, right? Let me tell you something. There's bigger things to be afraid of. There's bigger problems in the world right now. I'm not saying we should be afraid, but we need to be awake, and that's for sure, because there's some stuff going down. This message in my mind and heart shifted about three or four times, I think, but I think it got solidified today. I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You might want to turn me down just a hair. 1 Thessalonians 5. See if I can get there in my new Bible. First time in over 20 years I'm using a new Bible. My other one was being held together by Gorilla Tape. I figured it was time for a new one. All right. Well, goodness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read this right here because these are some misquoted verses. I'm going to tell you, there's a misquoted verse in Matthew 24 about, you know, where Jesus said, no man will know the day or the hour. And people pull that out of its context as if we would not know when we were living in the last days. So that's a misuse of that scripture. There's another scripture here, passage that's misused. And we're going to read from verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul, and I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, that's where most people stop. Stop reading that right there. The Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. You can't know. There's nothing you can know about when the Lord's coming or the end time or the end days. And then he goes on to say, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, he starts out saying, it's not for you to know. Then he gives them something that they can look for, a sign. What was he saying? It wasn't for them to know. Paul wrote the book of Thessalonians in about AD 52, all right? Well, he's telling them right then, it wasn't really for them to know. They shouldn't be worrying about that. They just needed to get after preaching the gospel, making disciples, establishing the church. That was their job. But he said, but there will be signs in the last days. There will be signs. And one of them is that you're going to be taken by surprise. It's going to sneak up on a lot of people, especially when they say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But look what verse 4 says. That's why you have to read the Bible and keep it in context. Verse 4, but ye brethren, who's he talking to? Christians. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So if you're a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, paying attention to what's going on in the world, he's real clear, you're not walking in darkness, and that day will not overtake you as a thief. Meaning you won't be surprised. Nothing about it will surprise you. All right? So we've been taught wrong in the church world for a long time. That's why entire denominations ignore the end time prophecies. Do you know that, goodness, there's like over goodness, I don't even know how many, 800 end time prophecies? Y'all know that? There's only a little over 300 about Jesus' first coming. Yet there's 800 plus about his second coming. Why is that ignored? Why do churches ignore it? Especially now. Especially now that we're in it. We can see it happening. It's amazing, the deception. I want you to go with me, too, back to Matthew chapter 24. Now, I have preached on Matthew chapter 24. Probably is the chapter out of the Bible I've preached the most on in the last 34 years almost. Matthew 24, but the Lord, during praise and worship, made it clear to go here. Now, let's go to verse 3. We're going to start there. Because I'm going to pull some things out this morning. And you need to understand that America is in for some rough, rocky times. Most of you don't know we're surrounded by Chinese troops. Y'all know that? Surrounded. They're inside of our country as well. They will arise. You understand that? Our country will be divided. We are going to have a civil war in our country. And the Chinese troops and the Russian troops and the UN troops are going to help the Democrats and the socialists and the communists that are in our country. That's going to happen. The Lord spoke to me about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, and he told me that the United States would be invaded and Chinese. Well, guess what happened just this week? Canadian official in the Canadian government leaked a document to the Canadian press, but only one guy in the press was willing to cover it. But it was a redacted 32, 34-page government document admitting in there that the Canadian government not only has Chinese troops in Canada, but that the Canadian military is training the Chinese in our secrets, our tactics, particularly cold weather training, since they'll be invading from Canada. Trudeau is a traitor. He's a traitor to the West. He's a traitor to America. And you just have no idea how bad it is. I'm telling you, I can't even express it to you this day. I'm just letting you know you're being warned. As when God called me many years ago, he said, I called you from your mother's womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet, and I would use you to be a prophet to the nations. And that's happening, and that's been happening in my life for over 30 years. And the Lord continues to make me emphasize the warnings of these things that are coming upon you. And people get all bent out of shape when I say prophet and apostle, but, you know, they're in your Bible. I'm sorry if you think, you know, if you got deceived and talked that those things were done away with, but nowhere does the Bible say God did away with the fivefold ministry gifts, nor did he do away with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's time to wake up out of all that denominational nonsense that we've been taught. Now, one of the things, and I'll just say this, one of the things that is in the Bible, in the book of Joel and the book of Acts, says, in the last days, God said he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Your young men would see visions. Your old men would dream dreams. He said, upon my servants and upon my handmaidens. Yes, women too. God said he would pour out his spirit and they would prophesy. And to prophesy means to tell things before they happen. All right? That's one of the definitions. Has many aspects to it, but that's one of it. But the apostles came to Jesus. Jesus had talked about, they all knew about Isaiah's prophecies about the end time. They all knew, you know, in fact, Matthew 24 is almost repeated in the book of Isaiah, almost word for word. They knew about that there would be an end time, that there would be a tribulation, you know, a great time of trouble would come upon the world. They knew about that, and so they asked Jesus, and Jesus talked about how things would get bad before his second coming. So they came to him on the Mount of Olives. Let's read this, Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he, that's Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Really, that means the end of the age. The world will continue after Jesus comes. Heaven and earth will not pass away. Now, God says later on after the 1,000-year millennial reign, he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. But he says heaven and earth will not pass away. The earth's always going to be here. So it doesn't mean, you know, when we talk about the end of the world, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's just going to blow up. All right? Y'all understand that, right? Like the Mayans tried to tell us or whatever it was. No, Jesus is going to return. But before Jesus returns and before there's any rapture, there's going to be a tribulation. What does the word tribulation mean? Trouble, trials, difficulty. And that tribulation and those trials, God never promised that the church would escape. Never promised. In fact, he promised us we would go through those, but that he would be with us if we would remain faithful to him. And this is the message, too, the church has not preached, because they have preached, we're going to be raptured out of here before the trouble starts. I'm sorry. In fact, I'll show you in a minute, but Matthew 24 also proves that to be wrong. All right? And so what we have right now is a church world that lives in blindness. They live with a false sense of security, and they are not preparing themselves for tribulation, trouble, difficulty, persecution, and even martyrdom. They are not preparing themselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, in their lives. They're not preparing themselves. And I'm just going to tell you, some of you may look at me and think, he's crazy. You think Chinese troops are going to invade? Yes, they are. Russian troops, UN troops, Muslims, they're going to invade our country from all sides. Now, the Lord told me this, too. Here's the good news out of it. You say, boy, this is bad. Hey, Pastor Dean, it's supposed to be a happy day. It is. The Lord told me he would not make a full end of the United States, meaning he would not let them succeed fully. In fact, he told me they would be stopped and pushed back. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we know how it's going to play out. It doesn't mean we know how many of us are going to make it. You know, I listened to yesterday, and before I read this, I listened to an entire speech given on December 9th by Secretary of State Pompeo, who was a former CIA director, and then Trump moved him over to be the Secretary of State. But he gave a speech at Georgia Tech University just a few days ago explaining how the Chinese are in these universities, Chinese agents for the Chinese Communist Party, how they threaten and intimidate students, both Chinese nationals and Americans, to get information, to try to steal our secrets. Georgia Tech's one of our main research universities. But he was explaining this, and he was explaining a few weeks ago, well, back in February, to our governors' association, how many governors are basically in bed with the Chinese Communist Party, and how many Chinese agents and soldiers are here working in companies, their own companies, buying our land, which should never have been allowed. We are already invaded. They just haven't decided to move forward. We know now that the Chinese Communist Party, the government, paid over $400 million to the Dominion Voting Machine Company just prior to the election. We know that Governor Kemp met with the Chinese spy at the consulate in Houston 2 weeks before Georgia signed a contract with the Dominion Voting Machines, even though they knew there were problems with them and votes could be switched. I watched a video this morning which shows on real-time television votes disappearing from Trump and going to Biden, the exact number disappearing from Trump going to Biden, and there being negative votes. How can you have negative votes? Votes are always being added. No, there's voter fraud. But right now, the mainstream media, oh, there's no voter fraud. Oh, Facebook fact checkers, no voter fraud. They've got video after video, testimony after testimony. There's been voter fraud. This election's been stolen. Now, why am I trying to say this? Because no matter what happens in a few days, whether Trump, the electors go ahead and put Trump in, knowing that there was fraud, acknowledging the fraud, whether Trump issues the Insurrection Act, because this is a Chinese communist insurrection, and they're using the Democrats as their proxies. We know that the ballots, the fake ballots, were printed in China. We have video of that. There's evidence all over the place, but these courts keep throwing it out. Why do the courts keep throwing it out? You have to understand, Chinese money has bought and paid for most politicians and judges in this country. If they're socialist Democrats, they will take money from the Chinese. And most of you forgot that way back when, some of you aren't old enough to remember, I guess, but President Clinton and Vice President Gore, when he was running for president, took money from the Chinese for their campaign, which is illegal in this country. But nobody goes to jail. See, this is why I'm going to tell you that no matter what happens. So let's say Trump doesn't invoke the Insurrection Act and lets Biden take office. You're going to have 100 million people or more in the United States that know that an election was just stolen. And let me tell you this. If we don't have an election, if we don't have a... Now, there's always been an amount of fraud, but never on this level, okay? But if this is allowed to stand, then there never will be another real election in America. And for that right there, America's done. You understand? Because if you ignore this problem, then there will never even have the possibility of a patriot, conservative, Christian-leaning person ever becoming president in the United States again. And if Biden goes in, I'm going to tell you what else is going to happen. China Biden's going to let the rest of them, the Chinese, come in. So I hope you have stocked up on what you need. You understand? Thank God, though, there's still patriots in our country. And there's still, and you know what I'm finding? I'm finding a common theme. I'm finding a common theme in the patriots who want to stand by the Constitution and who want to stand up against this invasion and this infiltration. Most of them seem to be Christians. Isn't that interesting? And most of the ones who want to ignore it and take money from the Chinese and let our country be infiltrated by Chinese and Muslims, most of them are Antichrist Democrats. That's just the way it is, folks. We've got two sides in this country. And then even on the Republican conservative side, what did we have there? We got a bunch of traitors there who've taken money from the Chinese. I mean, goodness, we just had, what was he, a senator? What's that guy's name? The senator that just got busted, removed from the House or the Senate Intelligence Committee. Oh, it's the House. He was a congressman. Yeah, Swalwell. Chinese Communist Party spy girlfriend. I wonder what he was telling her. What she was hearing. We have traitors, folks. Our country's been sold out. You just need to get that. We are headed toward civil war. We are headed toward the country being divided in two, literally, like it was in the 1860s. You hear what I'm saying? It's the way it is. But let's keep going. They came to Jesus and said, "Tell us what will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation." That's ethnos. That means race against race. "And kingdom against kingdom," that's different nations against different nations, literally kingdoms, governments against government. "There shall be famines." Just found out China cannot feed its people is another reason that they want to invade the United States. They need our farm-growing land. We are the breadbasket of the world, so that's what they want. Goes on to say there will be famines and pestilences. That's plagues. Well, what do you think we've been going through? Worldwide, coronavirus. Now, see, we don't believe here. Listen, I don't believe the coronavirus is a hoax. I believe it's a real virus. I believe it's man-made biological weapon in the Wuhan lab in China. That Wuhan lab was financed by Obama and Fauci. Money was sent from NIH and an Obama administration to Wuhan Lab to weaponize the coronavirus specifically. There are documents that prove all this, all right? This biological weapon was released by the Chinese government and the deep state on purpose so that they could create the fake mail-in ballots and get Trump out of office, because Trump and the patriots in our military and in our country that are loyal to Trump are the only thing standing in the way of the new world order, the one world government. That's why they hate Trump, and with all of his faults. Listen, I don't agree with Trump on everything. I don't agree with his vaccine pushing right now. I don't understand this in his head. I don't know if he understands it fully or not. But I don't agree with Trump on everything. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want Biden. You don't want Hillary. I mean, they're talking about making Andrew Cuomo, right, Attorney General. There will be no other option if Biden takes office but for the southern states and the Midwest states and the conservative states to secede from the union and start the real United States again. Texas, yeah. Texas GOP chair, Colonel Alan West, whom I wish Trump had picked for his vice presidential candidate to run with him. But he said he's the GOP chairman of Texas. He said, looks like all the option we have left now is to the states to understand what's going on to leave. This is where we are in America. You do understand that when people like Colonel Alan West start talking about it, Rush Limbaugh was talking about it on his program, over 20 million listeners, and saying that all that seems left is that we're trending toward secession now. That's how bad it is, folks. And most folks don't understand. We're not just headed to a Democrat administration if Biden's allowed to take office. We're headed toward total communist Chinese United Nations takeover. And Obama had 8 years to work on and set it up. That's why during Obama years, you remember all the videos that would come out of UN vehicles being moved all around our country? That's not the only thing they planted here. They also planted boxcars that have missiles in them, and they're in our country. You better get ready for some big events in the days ahead. So he said there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. A lot of you don't know that since 2014, earthquakes have dramatically increased. Within the first few months of 2014, it's like they tripled. And I'm talking about big ones. So the book of Luke says mega earthquakes, 7 and above have increased dramatically all over the world. Now let's keep going. He said here, all these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the beginning of birth pains. So the pestilence, we had to have a worldwide pestilence. We had to have worldwide massive earthquakes. We had to have these massive wars and rumors of wars. You know, Russia was just tested yesterday just to let us know that their submarine nuclear missiles work really well. They launched 4 of them, hit their targets. Now, they weren't armed, but they showed they can do it. Let's keep going. Verse 9 here says, then, what does that mean? After this, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look, who's resisting the coronavirus? Mandates, vaccines, shutdowns, mask. Who's resisting it more than anybody else? Christians. And these fools out here think that the mask is, if you don't wear a mask, you're going to kill them. Right? Yet the science says you wear a mask, you're more likely to get it. You're actually creating a moist environment for the virus. And they've proven that masks don't help stop any kind of viral infection. Even in emergency room and in surgery, they tested masks, no masks. Do infections increase? Not at all. Masks don't work. Surgical masks, M95, they said the only thing is M95 works a little bit, but if you wear it too long, it starts harming you. But all your little cloth masks, the worst thing you can wear is a cloth mask. You're making yourself more susceptible to infection. It's crazy. Droplets aren't getting people sick. It's aerosol, and guess what? Masks don't stop aerosol. So please stop it with the mask. Stop it. These people walking around. And I'm like, come on. I see people riding their bikes down the road by themselves. What are you doing in the car by yourself? You are brainwashed. What in the... I saw it coming here. I saw a person. I had this light down here. They're turning left. I'm coming across. I look. They're wearing a mask by themselves. I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's been proven that your oxygen levels drop when you wear a mask. It's very dangerous. You know what it does? It affects your brain function, which is exactly what they want. You know, I'm going to tell you, the coronavirus has been a test. It's been an IQ test. And most people have failed. Doesn't affect children at all. Children can get it, be done with it. And you got masks on little children running around in a playground. Self-suffocation. I don't know. I digress. I'm sick of it, y'all. And we got a governor going, we got to keep wearing the mask because our cases are going up. Well, the mask mandate's been here since, like, what, April? And still going up. Guess what? I don't care about cases. Show me deaths. And here's the other problem, and I'm just going to say this right now. I got to say it. You know, today's just a free-for-all, freestyle, all right? I'm just going to get some things off my chest today. But, listen, anybody that dies from coronavirus who was not given hydroxychloroquine or the new one that I've seen doctors that have been using now, ivermectin, these are drugs that are anti-parasite drugs. They've been around for decades. They're safe. I took hydroxychloroquine. Anybody that dies since March, when the doctors started talking about this, in March 18th, when the top doctors in the world started saying, hydroxychloroquine kills the virus, stops the lung problem. Early treatment is critical. If you take it, you prevent it. This is why that they had very few cases in Africa and very few died, and even some countries had no deaths. They had cases, no deaths, because everybody's taking hydroxychloroquine to prevent malaria, and they found out it prevents coronavirus. So these doctors, and we're talking about thousands of doctors, have been crying out. Harvard doctors like Harvey Reich. Harvard, Yale doctor. I'm sorry, he's from Yale. Harvard doctors, Yale doctors, Columbia doctors. We're not talking about quacks that got their papers from the Bahamas. Tell you, hydroxychloroquine, there's studies proving that it works. In fact, there's an NIH study from 2005 where they knew it worked. So Fauci knew hydroxychloroquine worked in 2005 against the coronavirus and the SARS aspect of it as well. They knew these things. But guess what? Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are cheap. No, they want to give you this remdesivir that doesn't work, but it's $3,000 a dose. Or now a vaccine. See, nobody could get rich off of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And these doctors, I saw a doctor. Senate hearing the other day, Dr. Corey, I can't remember what his last name was. But he's almost in tears because they won't release and approve the use of the ivermectin. And though they've treated thousands of patients anyway with it, and they've survived, he said it's almost a miracle how well it works. to stop the coronavirus. But let me tell you right now, they don't want to stop the coronavirus because they want to keep controlling us and they want to use it to shut down our economy and shut us down and shut down the church and force you to take a vaccine that you do not need. That's what this is all about. And guess what? I just read a report this morning. They didn't tell you. People died in the trials of the Pfizer vaccine. Yes? Dead. That's a side effect. Death. Or should we say, as they say in the commercials, fatal episode. I'm sorry. I don't want a fatal episode. You know, my elbow hurts. Take this drug and you'll have constant diarrhea and a fatal episode. I'll just let my elbow hurt, y'all. I'm all right with that. Elbow can hurt. You know. Even my, I remember Faith at 5 years old, one of those commercials came on and all the list of all the side effects. She goes, wouldn't you just be better not to be taking that? Did they know this? Yeah, should they have stopped this using this? 5-year-old, right? Understands. Folks, this is coming. Because, see, the people that get mad at you about wearing a mask, well, honey, if your mask works, why are you worried about me? It's the same thing. If you're vaccinated and I'm not, why are you worried about me? Doesn't your vaccination work? Don't you believe in it? So if you're vaccinated and I'm not, how am I a danger to you? But the psychos in our community have so brainwashed. Listen, folks, if you're listening to the mainstream media, you are being brainwashed. And I'm not talking about just the news. I'm talking about all of it. Hollywood, entertainment, cooking shows. Even the cooking shows are brainwashing you. Because they got to throw in, you know, a man talking, all of a sudden he starts talking about his husband. I'm telling you, it's just full of brainwashing. Like that's normal. Nothing normal about that. The Bible calls it unnatural. And yet, what are they trying to make it? It's just normal. God made you that way. You were born that way. No, you weren't. No more than you were born. I mean, the serial killer could say that too. Well, I was born a serial killer. Well, let me tell you something. If you were born a serial killer, you better get born again and stop being a serial killer, right? Help us, Jesus. Let's keep going. I am going to get to something in a minute. That's just an introduction. That's all right. But see, most people don't believe this, that they're going to deliver us up to be afflicted and kill people. No, they are. That's why you saw the Antifa folks getting in people's faces and saying, are you Christian? Are you a Christian? They know. They know who the patriots are. They know who the problem is. But let's keep going. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, I want to stop right there because this is one of the things the Lord emphasized to me. Be offended. Many shall be offended, shall hate one another, betray one another. Think about, because I got a nasty look. I went in Kroger last night, and I never wear a mask, y'all. Never wear a mask. And I walked in Kroger last night, and this lady, plus I go in there with the attitude, I dare you to say something to me, because I'm going to give you an education that you don't want. Right? I'm prepared. So I walk in, you know, maybe my bald head and goatee just intimidating. But this old lady had her mask on, about to pass out. And she looked up at me with his head, and just kind of growled at me. And I thought, don't say it. Don't say it. But think about that. She's probably a sweet lady. She's probably a church-going lady. I would bet, in Alabama. But she's ready to chew my head off, slap me with her cane, because I'm not wearing a mask. All right? But think about when things get worse. And this is something as Christians, and I want to say this to all of you. The Bible says if you love the Lord and you love his word, this is in Psalm 119. Look this up for me. It's the word offense in it, or offend. But it says if you love God's word, you love his law, you love his truth, you won't be easily offended. Okay? This is critical, y'all. Listen close. It's so easy. Look, we're dealing with now, there's a spirit of division. And I almost was going to do a message, but the Lord just kind of made me move on a little bit. But division, on division. I was going to call it division, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because division, there's a good reason for division sometimes. Jesus said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. I come to set a man at variance with his father-in-law, a mother with her mother-in-law. I mean, he said there's going to be division over what? Truth. Truth. God's truth and just simple truth in the world. So there's going to be division. So there's division that has to happen. There's good division. You have to stand for the truth. You have to stand for what's right. You can't just go along with all these lies and everything that the society wants you to just keep embracing. 165, Psalm 119, 165. There it is. Great peace have they which love thy law, the word of God, and nothing shall offend them. See, let me tell you, it's easy to get offended with each other. Because this verse in Matthew 24, when it says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. The love is agape. That's the only kind of, that's the God kind of love, and only a Christian that has the Holy Spirit living in them can have that kind of love. And he said, that's the love that's going to grow cold, meaning between Christian and Christian. You have to understand this. He said, many will be offended and shall hate one another and betray one another. You can't betray somebody that you weren't once loyal to. You can't betray someone you don't have a relationship with. You hear me? And these offenses are easy. Let me just tell you this right now. Think about this. Why did the disciples, remember that says the disciples got offended? Remember they got offended, what is it, in John 12, when the woman came in and poured the oil on Jesus? How many of you know there's two different incidents? Everybody thinks it's the same incident. In fact, let's do that this morning. Go to John 12. I'm going to show you something. I've preached on this before, but we got new people here today. Always new people listening. We got people in Australia. People in California, that's a foreign land. Especially the coast. I know that most of California, there's a lot of California that are true conservatives and Christians. So I'm sorry, my California people. Danny, my man in L.A. All right. John 12, did y'all turn there? Can I have fun for me? I know there's food downstairs, but y'all be all right. John 12, let me show you something. Verse 1. I need to talk this because Christians, you need to be aware. Don't get offended with your brothers and sisters over trivial things. Don't get offended with your leaders. Because your leader's not only going to do what you want, or they're not going to always think and act like you want them to act, and they're going to make decisions that sometimes you're not going to like. But Jesus made a decision. Let's look at this. All right. It says, everybody pay attention. And remember, it's important when you read the Bible to pay attention to the details. Then Jesus, everybody say, 6 days. 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, I believe the reason it named Mary here, it was probably Mary and Martha, brother and sister of Lazarus. All right? Took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, look at verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Then, everybody say this, one of his disciples. So 6 days before the Passover, anointed his feet, And one of his disciples said, to what purpose was this waste? One of his disciples, which should betray him, why not was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. And Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. So Judas here says, why are you wasting this? Remember, Jesus allowed this to happen. So what was he doing? He got offended with Jesus. Think about this. Over a financial decision. Over something he thought he knew better. Beware of this. This is what divides a lot of churches. All right? Now let's look at it. Let's go to Matthew 26. Everybody thinks it's the same event. Not the same event. Somebody say 6 days. All right. Go to Matthew 26. Got to pay attention to the details. Matthew 26. Now, whose house were they at a minute ago? Right, we're going to start at verse 1. So we're at the Lazarus house, Mary and Martha's house in Bethany, 6 days before the Passover. Now look at this. Mary came in, she anointed his feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and Judas, just Judas. Well, here we go. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto the disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover. Everybody say 2 days. 2 days. So 4 days later. Remember, we just said 6 days and Passover. And he says here, no, 2 days. So 4 days later, they assembled together the chief priests, and they consulted how to kill him and so on. Now let's go down to verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, he's in the same town, but now whose house is he in? He says in the house of Simon the leper, in a different house. 4 days later. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and she poured it on his head, not his feet, as they sat at meat. But look at verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, meaning they got offended. They got their panties in a wad. To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and give it to the poor. Where did his disciples get that offense from? Judas. So in just 4 days, Judas's offense, Judas's words of division, Judas's words against leadership, Judas's attitude got off on all of the disciples just 4 days later. Let me tell you something right now. It's easy to get offended. It's easier to pick up somebody else's offense. But if you love the Word of God and you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you have humility in your heart, you're going to push that away and push that down and go, nope. Remember, right after this, they're headed to Gethsemane and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Let me tell you the problem there. Pride. All right? I think I'm better than you, so I should have this spot. Beware of that. In fact, Proverbs 13:10 says this. Only by pride comes contention. See, there's bad division that comes over offenses. That comes over, really a lot of it comes down to not respecting spiritual authority. Start thinking you know better. You know what decisions should be made. Oh, man, let me tell you, it's easy to get offended. All right? Can I just say this? When it comes to leadership in the church, and you see a decision being made that you don't think, that you don't like. Now, I'm not talking about something that's sinful or wicked. Just you see something you don't think you don't like. I can just go ahead and tell you, you don't know everything that I know if I'm making a decision. Okay? And some of it, I can't tell everything about it. So either you trust me or you don't. I had to put somebody out of the church years ago. This is years ago when I had church in Montgomery. And I couldn't tell everybody in the church why I had to put them out. It's very sensitive information, all right, that I knew about this person. But my job was to protect the children and the people in the church. And I had a choice to do that and offend some people. And let me tell you, some people got mad at me because I put this person out of the church, but they did not know what I knew. I had a decision to make as a leader, and I had to do it. And I don't always have to tell you or ask your permission. And sometimes, you know, it just like when Jesus let that happen, if Judas was humble and if Judas was loving God's word, when Jesus was the word made flesh, guess what? It wouldn't have mattered to him. He would have trusted Jesus and go, you know what? The master knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Let him do it. Don't accuse God. Listen, there's no counsel or wisdom or anything against the Lord. If it's against the Lord, you're wrong. He's right. Every time. All right? But I'm just saying that don't let yourself get offended. Most people that's left this church over the years have gotten offended either at something I preached they didn't like that's in the book or something my wife preached that they didn't like. My wife preached on family order one time, a wife submitting to the husband, and this lady that had been in our church for a number of years got so mad that she was supposed to submit and obey her husband that they left the church. I am not joking you over that scripture. Yeah. This will tell you what kind of stuff, I mean, pastors deal with. You know what I'm talking about. Stupid stuff. We let ourselves get offended. We don't trust God. We don't trust our leadership. We think we know better sometimes. And it's just all a bunch of pride. In the days ahead, it's going to be more than masks. Let me tell you, when we won't take the vaccines or the mark of the beast, there's going to be Christians and family members go, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just do it? Listen. I have Christians offended with me, said I'm unsubscribing from your channel because I'm running for governor of Alabama. Like they know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, come on over and tell me what I should eat each day for my meals, when I should pray, how I should design my sermons. I got people telling me what I should preach and shouldn't preach. I'm like, okay, I tell you what. You go start you a church and show me how to do it wherever you are. Leave me alone, right? It's just amazing. That's why I love the block feature. Block, block, block. Goodbye. Go somewhere that makes you happy, obviously. You know what amazes me? If you so despise my preaching and this church, why do you keep watching it? And why do you keep commenting? Move along to something that makes you happy, right? If I disturb you so bad, there's plenty of preachers that'll tell you what you want to hear. All right, let's keep going. We got to finish this real quick. Back to Matthew 24. I'm having fun this morning. Maybe lightening up a heavy subject. I'm going to end with this. I just want to read down. Of course, verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Boy, we got that right now. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's what we just talked about. But look at verse 13 and 14. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Do you hear that? Does that mean he who believes, born again, baptized, but then decided to take the mark of the beast? No. He that endures, what is he talking about enduring? The hardships that are coming, the persecution, the rejection, the betrayals, the job losses. You hear me? How about when they put a gun to your head? Just deny Jesus and you can go home. Just deny Jesus and you can go home. Just take this mark in your hand or your forehead, and you can go home, and you'll have money for your children. How many people are going to cave like a house of cards in a hurricane? Just going to cave in the moment the trouble, the wind starts blowing against them. They're going to cave. You know why? Because they don't love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all it comes down to. I love Jesus more than preserving my life in this world. That's what it comes down to. That's why if you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you fear God above men, you love truth, you love God's word above all the lies in this world, you're willing to endure to the end. The end when he comes back or the end of your life. You won't give in. You won't give in to the temptations, to the afflictions. And they're coming, folks. A civil war, an invasion in America, you know what's disrupted immediately? Supply chains. Are you ready for that? Especially Americans, boy, we're so spoiled. You know? They tell us we're going to shut down, they run and get toilet paper. Let me tell you something. You're going to get toilet paper first instead of food, something's wrong with you. Let me tell you something. You better have food, seeds, and bullets. Oh, Pastor Dean, Christians shouldn't talk about bullets. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let a band of criminals, evil people, just walk in my house, try to rape my wife and my daughter, take everything I've worked for. No, sorry. See, there's a difference between, like I've said, standing on the gospel and preaching the gospel on the corner of a street somewhere. Somebody comes up and says, "You're preaching the gospel, I'm going to shoot you." Fine, all right. I'm ready for that. I went to Nigeria, my life in danger both times. When I went to the island of Mauritius, my life was in danger by Muslims there. That I don't mind. That's part of it. That's what Jesus said. But my wife and my daughter, you, that's off limits. See, that's where I become in my house. I am the police. I don't have to call 911. I don't have to wait 15 minutes while they kill everybody and take everything. No. Pile of hot brass, remember? But he that endures to the end. This is what the Lord was showing me really this morning. Many people are not ready to endure to the end because they love their life in this world and they love their, even, listen, Jesus said, if you're going to love me, you can't even love your husband, your wife, your children more than me. But how many people are going to know they're not supposed to take the implant in their hand or their forehead? Yet they're going to do it so they can take care of their family. It's dangerous. This book's warned us. I'm going to read this part. Verse 21. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, plural, prophets, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." Jesus, I've warned you. And let me tell you, when it says that they will show great signs and wonders, the book of Luke, chapter 21, Jesus said, also added, there'll be signs in the heavens, in the skies, fearful sights. How many of you heard this week that the former head of the Israeli space agency for 30 years said that aliens are here? Yeah. Said aliens are here. Said that Trump knows about them. Said that the aliens didn't want him to talk about it or bring it out yet because the human race is not ready. But that they've been here for a while. They've been doing their experiments. Oh, and that they have a revelation of what space is that we need, right? Let me just explain something to you. Everybody, we chuckle at that. But the aliens are coming. They're going to manifest themselves, but they're not from other planets. They're not extraterrestrials from Mars or some galaxy far, far away. No, they are the descendants and the offspring of the Nephilim, and they are here, and they have been here for thousands of years, but they have been underground, and they are going to come up on the earth, and they're going to say we're aliens. They're not aliens. And their fallen angels are going to be with them, manifested in the physical, where you can see them. This deception is going to be one of the greatest deceptions of all times. They've been prepping everyone for this for years. Why do you think movie after movie, TV show after TV show has been about contact with aliens? How many of you know that more people in the UK believe in aliens than believe in God? That is a fact. I don't know the percentage of Americans. I just read a book, though, by a Harvard researcher, Harvard professor, talking about American cosmic, that the when the aliens come, basically, that's going to be a new religion. And let me tell you, these New Age mediums have been channeling this stuff, saying they've been in contact with aliens. Let me tell you what they're in contact with. Demons, fallen angels. And you know what they've been telling them? Yes, we're going to have a new religion, a new age. All men are going to be united as one, except for those pesky little Christians. We got to get rid of them. I'm telling you. They've been saying this for decades. But that deception is coming. Remember, it said, the Pope recently said he would baptize aliens. We laugh. He's a world leader. I'm ready to baptize aliens. I bet you are. You probably won yourself. They are among us, y'all. They are. Because, see, back in Genesis, back in the days of Noah, it says the fallen angels had relations with human women and created the offspring, the giants. But there's been many mutations of those giants down through the centuries. And not all the Nephilim are, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Some people freak out. They don't know some of those that they saw in the land of Canaan, remember, were 36 feet tall. Some of them had six fingers and six toes. Some of them have double rows of teeth. The Smithsonian has hidden their bones from us, but there are newspapers going back in the 1800s, early 1900s, you can read the articles where they dug up these giants' bones all over the world. Then the Smithsonian show up, and they're gone. Yeah. But there's still some around. But folks, the aliens are coming. But they're imposters. They're not from Andromeda. Cartoons, folks. And our government, listen to this, our government's been in contact with these things, with these entities, these fallen angels, the demons and the Nephilim offspring of the fallen angels and human beings. They've been in contact with these things for many years, which is why I think a lot of them end up doing whatever they want them to do. I believe they're running the show in a lot of these people's lives, the world leaders' lives. Look, I know I was on an email. I still have it, so I'll produce it one. I'll show it. I was on a group email with the former defense minister of Canada, with a Christian, another Christian who knew him. I'm on the phone, I'm on the email with them. We're going back and forth about aliens. The former defense minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer, believes that there are four species of aliens. He's been in contact with them. He believes the governments of the world have been in contact with them, and that the day of full disclosure is coming. All right? I have the emails. Now, this is the defense minister of Canada, the former defense minister of Canada, a man that had been in Canadian politics nearly his entire life. We laugh. No, it's crazy. Pastor Dean, it's crazy. You're crazy. Am I? No, I believe in fallen angels. I believe the Bible. Fallen angels are real. Demons are real. Nephilim, the descendants of the fallen angels and human women, are real. And Jesus said, like it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's why I know they're going to appear. And listen, they're going to tell you to take the vaccines. They're going to tell you to take the mark. They're going to tell you to follow the United Nations. They're going to tell you to follow the man that's going to rise and going to say, this is the man you follow. That's coming. They're going to tell you, here's the religion you can have, not that Christianity. No, it's coming. You know what? What's going to be funny? Mark this down. Mark it down. The day this comes to pass, the next Sunday after that, this church, we will have standing room only. There'll be cars down the road. They're going to be like, the crazy preacher was right. That's one of my favorite. Remember the movie 2012? And the guy's holding the signs, you know, the end. And the guy from the White House is riding down the road. He goes, who thought the crazy sign holders and preachers would be right? Yeah, no, the end is here. It's just not the way they want you to believe that 2012 movie crap. That's not the way it's going down. Now, the last vial of wrath that God pours out, it says every mountain will be moved, every island will be moved, all the cities of the nations will be destroyed. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a day of great wrath on that day. And that's when we're raptured. The Bible says on the same day that God destroyed them all, the same day he took Lot out of Sodom, as he said, just the same manner is going to happen to us. We are taken out at the very end. That's why, put up Revelation, Matthew 24, verse 29, we're going to read this and be done this morning. Look at that. I've only been up here a little over an hour. I'm usually good for an hour and a half or two. Here's the proof, y'all. Listen, Jesus, Matthew 24 is an outline. It's an outline of major points, and it's a chronological, sequential outline. Because he said, these are the beginning of sorrows, then this will happen, then this will happen, then this will happen. And notice we've already read. You know, we missed one in verse 15 where he said, then the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet will stand in the holy place. That's the Antichrist. He's going down through the whole chapter. Never once mentions the rapture. Never once. You might think that's an important point, right? So we're going to find out, did Jesus get it wrong? Because we've been told by preachers and seminary professors and, you know, denominations that we get raptured out of here before this trouble. Here's what Jesus said. Immediately after. Somebody say after. How could preachers preach before? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven. That proves the stars aren't what you've been told either. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, what's that mean? After this shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wait a minute, the second coming of Jesus? All eyes see? There's not a secret snatching? And then he says this. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's when the rapture happens. After the tribulation. You're going through the tribulation. You're not being pulled out away from it. You're going to have to endure unto the end. That is what Jesus taught. So I don't care what your Bible school professor said. I don't care what your Baptist pastor said. I don't care what John MacArthur says. I don't care what any of them say. I doubt whether he's even a true believer or not. Probably a Freemason. This is what Jesus said. You hear me? You're going through. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to believe God for the supernatural. No, Pastor Dean, oh, if I don't take the vaccine, they won't let me in the emergency room. Well, come on over. I'll set that broken leg for you. We'll go back to the old days. Pray and do what we can. See, my wife, we were talking, her brother just went to the hospital, had to have they found a blockage or something and had to have a stent put in, and the stent probably broke loose something, and he just had a minor stroke. And I told her, I said, I won't be doing that. I said, if I went to the doctor and they said, you got a blockage in your heart, I was like, thank you, I'm out. Because there comes a point where you trust God. You know, I had my cousin the other day talking about, well, my cholesterol is this and my dad's that. I said, you know how to escape all that? Don't check it. I said, I don't check my blood pressure, my cholesterol. I said, I'm trusting God. I'm going to be here until I'm not supposed to be here anymore. He said, well, Pastor Dean, are you against doctors? No, but I'm getting more and more against them as the days go on. Because they're killing folks. They're killing folks. Oh, take this drug. They just prescribe 5 drugs before you get out of my office. They tried to give my father-in-law antidepressants without him knowing they were antidepressants. They tried to slip them in. I guess they just needed another prescription to make the quota so they'd get the kickback from the pharmaceutical company. I don't know. But a doctor, they'll try to slip in antidepressants and they're not tell you that it's antidepressants? I don't trust them. They almost get the hospital in Montgomery. What was it, Montgomery East? Baptist East? Would have killed Troy, Pastor Troy. If he hadn't got out after 3 days and walked out of there at 2 a.m. in the morning, they would have killed him. Wouldn't give him hydroxychloroquine. He's in there with COVID, both lungs, because Troy is stubborn like a lot of us men and wouldn't go to the doctor. His both lungs filled up. But he's in the hospital 3 days, and they're doing nothing. And they told him when he went in, yeah, you could 3 different treatments. One of them they said he could have was hydroxychloroquine. He said, that's what I want. Whoop, they disappeared and come back for a day. They come back in and said, nope, you can't have it. What? And then, I mean, I called. Troy's my friend. You're not going to let my friend die. So I called the patient advocate. I gave her, I did all but cuss at her. And I'll tell you, I was about to backslide, brother. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, I told her, I'm running for governor. I'll come have a press conference on the front steps. And that's probably not going to happen here pretty soon. But they weren't, he had to get up and walk out. And, you know, because we know people, we got him some hydroxychloroquine. And he started recovering, and then he did go back to Jackson Hospital just for them to keep an eye on him. And at least he had a doctor there that cared. But hear what I'm saying. Some of these doctors will let you die. I don't know if it's out of ignorance or if it's on purpose or if it's political. I think it's political with that thing. I mean, goodness, I want to tell them, do Black Lives Matter? I know. That's right. Pastor Troy said he didn't vote for Biden, so obviously he's not black. Oh. Do we live in a crazy world, brother? But some of these doctors, listen, if you go in the hospital and they you have COVID and they won't give you hydroxychloroquine or now ivermectin, which is they're the same type of drug. they're going to let you die. You need to get up and walk out. And like I said, we know people, so we'll find you some, right? Some way, somehow. But we found a group of doctors that will prescribe it. Over the phone. They don't even have to see you. They'll just give it to you. You know why? They care. They care. There's one in Huntsville. They're scattered all over the country. And they'll give it to you. They'll prescribe it. Right now, the government, see, and this is what I think. You know, Trump secured 29 million doses, but now the government's trying to hold them and not release them. So, listen, I'm telling you. This is manufactured by New World Order people. They knew they had to have an antidote for themselves. Trump let that cat out of the bag, right? Here's what works. Cheap, safe. Oh, they always, oh, it causes heart problems. No, it doesn't either cause heart problems. I took it for 2 months. Did I have a heart problem? No. These people just lie. They lie through their teeth. And they're in our government. Fauci's one of the biggest liars there is. He wants you to take the vaccine because he's part of getting the kickback for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable, you. Stop believing these fools. Believe God's word. And listen, the day's coming. We're going to have to trust God for our health care, our food, our clothing. And what did he say? Anyway, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things be added to you. All right, let's stand. What was that Matt Redman song? I want to do that before we leave. I think everybody's here staying, so we're not leaving. We're going downstairs to fellowship, have lunch together. But I want to do this song. So let's worship the Lord before we leave. I'm going to pray first. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. God, you said we would not be in darkness, that day would overtake us as a thief. We know it's here. We're ready, Lord. We're going to be ready to endure, to stand strong, to endure to the end, to go through this tribulation and troubles and trials and persecution, to stand for you, to be a light for you, Jesus, in this dark world, to try to lead others to the truth and to lead others to repentance of sin and salvation. Lord, that's what we're going to do. Lord, I ask you to anoint us, to fill us, to empower us, help us discern the truth from the lies, and to stand against this whole New World Order beast system that's coming into power. Help us stand in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear. My God is with me.
I can see a light that is coming.